people been getting up. You've been getting up at 6 o'clock, and make sure you're praying at 6 o'clock. We handed out prayer points for every day, and it's been a powerful week. I've heard from a lot of you. Darla and I could sense more people praying when we were praying in the morning. It's amazing. And we may not be together geographically, but we're praying in agreement because we have a strategy that we believe the Holy Spirit's given us. And we finished the week of prayer yesterday at 6:30 in the morning in the student center. And we had a powerful, powerful time of prayer. And I couldn't help but think of two of the prayer groups here, our Sunday morning intercessory prayer group that has met and continues to meet faithfully every Sunday morning. And Ned Nevette has led that for years now, and we just love you and appreciate you for that. And then I think of Tom Romansky and Rick at our men's prayer meeting that stood in the gap at 6:30 every Saturday morning for years. And then it dawned on me, and some of you helped me realize, that our prayer groups have been praying that we would pray more all along. Right? We can't ever pray too much, can we? But we had a good group. I mean, a large group. More than I expected. Not that I didn't have faith for it. I just know sometimes folks just can't be there at that time of day. I get it. But typically over the years, the prayer meeting is the least attended meeting in the church, and yet it's the most powerful meeting in the church, because it only takes two or three that meet together that agree in Christ to see Christ do great things, you know. But it was well attended, and I couldn't believe such a large number of people. We prayed in unity in one accord, and there was a flow in the meeting. And so something I've been praying about for a while, and I'll plant the seed next, is we're going to start every month with a week of prayer. And so I'm really excited about that. We'll start the first Sunday. We'll run through Saturday. We'll finish with 6:30 prayer meeting on Saturday. And then the men got to go eat eggs and bacon at Denny's. So, all good. Engage. Look to your neighbor and say, engage. This week it's 6:30. That's where we teach leadership. It's our only focus. It's our only focus. And you don't have to be a leader in the church to come. It will impact every facet of your life. It's an hour tight, so you can come at 6:30, be done at 7:30. Then after that, we meet with our interns. So also a few things, I'm going to get with it here. March, first week of March, is our annual business meeting, and we're due nominees this time of year for our advisory council. So if you're a member, and God, you feel like the Lord has placed somebody on your heart, you would like us to qualify an interview for the business meeting, these are out at the prayer, by the prayer wall, on the prayer table. And look over there at the prayer wall, y'all. Say, look at the prayer wall, y'all. You're getting it, Pastor Lawrence. Keep up the good work. You can put your prayer requests up on that wall, and we actually pray for them. And there's pencil and paper over there. And we'll keep them up there, and we'll pray. And when you get an answer to prayer, if you'll stick it back up there, we'll see what God's doing as we pray. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, the title of my message today is Less Fret, More Faith. Have you ever fretted? I have a bunch. And we're going to go into this series. I've called it Finding Peace in a Chaotic World. And just kind of to cast a little vision forward where you kind of know where we're going to go. We're going to, and actually we've got this idea, and we're taking ideas chapter by chapter from a book Max Lucado wrote called Anxious for Nothing. And just taking a chapter at a time, making it our own, using a lot of our own illustrations and seeing what the Lord has to say. But we're going to ride that all the way up till May. We will pause for Missions Month and Stewardship Month. And we'll do some stuff there, and then we'll come back and to finding peace in a chaotic world, and then we'll come back for 3 weeks of Easter. I don't know, I like to pause every year and take about 3 weeks to talk about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That message never gets old, and then we'll come back to it. And a number of things in May and June. So praise the Lord. I want to read you a short story. This is a young lady that wrote this named Jenna. When I was growing up, my dad had school drop-off duty. And without fail, every morning as he slowed the car to stop and we hurriedly unbuckled our seats, grabbed our backpacks, and threw open the doors, he would give the same exhortation. Girls, have a good day. Laugh a lot. Learn a lot. And don't forget who gave it to you. I never thought much about that phrase growing up. My sisters and I would just robotically say it with him and then quickly yell, "Okay, Dad," before slamming the door shut. Laugh, learn, remember. As a young girl, I did just that. Laughing came easily. Learning was fun. Remembering that Jesus was the giver of my day, it was always on my mind. But I never doubted that God was with me and that God did care for me. And then I started to grow up. Look to your neighbor and say, "Grow up." What's so funny about that? Well, y'all know I did it. Y'all know how I am. Like to have a little fun, right? If you're new, I'm not completely crazy, but I am a little bit crazy. Just where you know. You didn't have to say that, Grace. Where was I? But then I started to grow up. And with growing up came more responsibility. And with more responsibility came anxiety. Wasn't long before homework hours lengthened. Friends hurt me and I hurt them. Pretty soon, pretty, you can tell where I'm from. How about this? Pretty. How do you say pretty? Pretty? I really feel like I'm going to try to learn Spanish, start learning it this year. I will continue to teach Pastor Lawrence Southern slang. Pretty. Pretty soon, I was taking my SATs, learning how to interview for jobs, paying my bills. Marriage brought deep joy, but also deep struggles. Cancer invaded the family and my heroes in life passed away. Babies were born, yet another level of worry. The older I got, the less I naturally lived my dad's exhortation to laugh, learn, and remember. I want you to say it with me. Laugh, learn, and remember. The serious struggles squelched the laughter. The joy of learning turned into pressure to achieve and remembering God. The anxieties of life pushed out thoughts of Him. That's why it's hard for me to accept Paul's words in Philippians 4:4 that says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Always? How are we supposed to do that with the pain and anxiety of life? I think it's a legitimate question. I think Jenna's thoughts are very legitimate. I think all of us, even regardless of age, can relate to some of Jenna's thoughts. We're going to take weeks and weeks and talk about overcoming. How about that? And especially overcoming the everyday, say everyday, the everyday anxieties of life. And we're going to have to learn in a deeper measure, in a more rooted way, in a more solid biblical way, how to find peace in the chaotic world that we live in. Because Philippians 4:4-10, we're going to stay there for weeks, just those verses. You may want to write them down where you can read the whole book of Philippians, and especially those verses over and over. You may even want to put them to memory. We'll do a 40-day personal devotion at home relating to those very scriptures that we'll implement here just in a few weeks, and we'll be doing one short devotion a day together. How you like that? We'll be doing it in our homes. Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And he goes on to say, and again I say, rejoice. Well, I tell you, we need to rejoice because there's trouble out there. It doesn't take very long to realize that. And peace can be very temporary and peace can be very short term. And we're going to talk about how to overcome the pressures and anxieties of life, but we're going to take more time to talk about the peace of God that surpasses the all understanding. And the first step and the main step toward peace, if you just let me insert that now, is to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. But there's trouble out there. Sometimes we lose sleep. Do you ever lose sleep? We don't laugh as often. We don't enjoy life along the way. And my father-in-law told me many, 25 years ago, he retired well. He was a man of character, and he lived a good life, and he enjoyed life. And he told me still, they'll smell the roses along the way a little more. There's going to be trials. There's going to be turmoil. There's going to be things that come your way, but they'll smell the roses along the way. And I took that to heart. Max Lucado said, anxiety can be a meteor shower of what ifs. Not too long ago, a year or so ago, maybe it's been two now, I did an entire message on what if. But listen, what if I don't get the sale? What if I don't get the bonus? What if I don't succeed? What if I don't go here? What if I don't go there? What if I don't make this decision? What if? What if? What if? What if? What if? And all of a sudden, the sky is falling. Anxiety and fear are cousins. I don't know that they're twins, but they're cousins. But they do, they're kin. Anxiety and fear are kinfolk. If you struggle with an anxiety, you'll probably struggle with fear. If you struggle with fear, it could be a product of anxiety, actually. Fear sees a threat. Anxiety imagines one. Fear really sees it's in scared, but anxiety imagines that it's going to happen before it happens. Anybody ever been there but me? Build those anxious bridges to nowhere. Fear screams, get out. Anxiety ponders, as I mentioned, what if. Fear results in fight or flight. Anxiety creates gloom and doom. If I'm scared, I run. I can't be scared all the time. I can look through everything through gloomy glasses. Anxiety. Fear's heart pounds when it sees a rattlesnake coiled up and ready to strike. And everybody say, you better believe it, amen. Thank God a rattler has rattles. You know, you're on that trail and you're hiking and all of a sudden, fear's a good thing sometimes. But anxiety says, watch this, I'll never go hiking again. There may be a rattlesnake on that trail. Ooh. It's a big deal. The word anxious is a combination in the original language, but I'll define it. Angst and just. Say yes. Angst, I think you could probably understand that, is a sense of unease. Yes, is hard to define. So I'm going to try to help you. Remember how I almost didn't make it out of the Grand Canyon a few months ago? That last 3 miles where I had to stop every 75 to 100 yards. Why did I have to stop? Pastor, stop. He said, I've already stopped. I said, I'm sorry. I'm holding you up. We're about a mile behind everybody else. He said, I'm just so thankful you stopped. I thought I was going to die. A sense of unease without breath. That's the best way I know to define it. In fact, the word yes means no breath. So a sense of unease with no breath. I mean, you think of people, maybe you're one of those people. We've all experienced this to some degree, greater and larger degrees in our life. We all have. But some people, they just run. They run to get here. They run to get there. They run to get there. They're always, and I know we're busy. They're always busy, 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 busy. They're usually late, 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 late. But I had this, and I'm sitting there looking at him thinking, I've known you 20 years, and life never changes for you. I have a guy in my life that's on one of my leadership teams in the district. He's always, he's a great guy. He loves God. He's super, he's highly gifted. All the above, all the above. Respect him greatly. I'm not going to mention his name. You wouldn't know him anyway, but he's always, and so I give him, if I'm going to have a meeting at 6, I tell him 5:30. So then I become a liar, and I'm kind of conflicted there, but God wants to change that. Jesus wants to change that. I still run hard, but I run much steadier. I used to run so hard, I didn't have any margin in my day. I mean, if you died, you had to wait to die. If you were sick, you needed Jesus to heal you because I got 3 more things on my calendar before I even pray for you. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you something. Anxiety ain't no fun. I don't have time. All you got to do is Google it. And so I decided to Google it. And just on one site alone, I found 4 pages, but you on anxiety, you could Google it, and you can find 100 sites with thousands of pages. Anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S. It's not that all anxiety can be mental illness, but if we don't overcome it, it could easily turn into that. Affecting 40 million adults in the United States, age 18 and older. Wow. People with anxiety tend to have 3 to 5 times more likely to go to the doctor, 6 times more likely to be hospitalized for psychiatric disorders. And I'm not going to read through these. I thought about just reading you a paragraph that long for 5 minutes, but anxiety can be linked to depression. It can be a cause of depression, and there's all kinds of phobias, numbers of phobias, dozens of phobias that's directly connected to anxiety. Women tend to be more affected than men for some reason. Even they believe now that rape can be triggered with people that experience anxiety on a regular basis all their lives. And it goes on. And it usually increases according to the data and the research. And I didn't dig in deep because the point I want to make really isn't to give you all a bunch of data this morning. The point I want to make is through Jesus Christ and understanding and using the principles of the world, we can overcome anxiety that's in our world. Right? So page after page after page after page after page. Why anxiety? Why? And I want to be really extremely transparent with you. Early in my young adult life, I struggled in a deep, deep way with worry. Worry and anxiety are basically the same thing. And you know, one side of my grandparents worried. My father was a worrier, and I became a worrier. It may have been learned behavior to some degree. It may have had a spiritual reason to some degree, but I was a worrier and I didn't like it. And then when I found Christ, I continued to be a worrier and I didn't like it. And as I read the scripture, I began to understand that I really didn't have to live that way. And then, and I may share it with you a little bit later, because I have a few verses that I've shared with many of you, that I'd go to the scripture, to the word of God, and I would pray those scriptures. And God delivered me from the chains of anxiety. Okay, right? Now, do I still get anxious every now and then? Yes, but I'm not bound with the chains of anxiety. There's a difference. So, and it all came through Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And for the sake of teaching and for the sake of your well-being, you say, well, what about medications? I think sometimes medication's okay. I know, you know, in the old Pentecostal days, you weren't supposed to say that. I do think we over-medicate. Over-medication is the biggest problem that we have. Christ can, and the power of the Holy Spirit can solve all of this, because we know that Christ can do anything. But there are maybe seasons in your life, if you've got a good doctor, that you may need a medication. I'm just saying. I take a medication for high cholesterol. And it's inherited. It's in my DNA. It's in my genes. I could go, and I tried everything for years. And heart disease runs in my family. Now, I believe Jesus is the ultimate healer, and his blood's my blood. But I still need to do the things I need to do to stay healthy. Would you agree with that? And so we tried everything. Strict diet, no meat. I went 3 months, go back to the doctor. I've got a very good doctor. Finally, just realized, he said, Dale, it's in your genes. He said, doesn't matter how you eat or don't eat. And this was over a period of 2 years, because I didn't want to do the medication for my cholesterol. But my dad had his first heart attack at 42. And he said, there's runners that dropped dead that ate perfect all their life, and they found high cholesterol. They found their arteries clogged up. So for me, it was genetic, and I've asked God to heal me, and I continually will, and I believe in that. But I tell you what, I can take a little 10-milligram pill every other day, and for 10 years, my cholesterol's been perfect. I don't know that there's anything wrong with that, right? So I got off on a tangent a little, but I'm trying to illustrate to you what I'm saying. It's no different sometimes when we struggle spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. We may need a little help. Why does it happen? Why do we become anxious in the first place? Well, golly, the list is huge. But I tell you what, I'll give you a few thoughts to think about. What about change? Even positive change can bring anxiety. I've been praying for some of y'all that are moving here in the next month, and I believe it's going to be a good move. I believe you're going to be in a better house. I believe you're going to be in a better location. I believe you're going to be in a better place. But I know the week you move, you're going to be a wreck. It's tough. And I'm just teasing a little. You're not going to be a wreck. But you know what? You're going to have to keep working. And you got stuff to do here, too. I might give you off that week. Ooh, that made you feel a little bit better, didn't it? Take a little of that pressure off. No, change. And that's just one of many changes. It can be a good change. It can be bad change. That's even tougher. That's high anxiety. We get things thrown. Look, I know that we reap what we sow a lot, but then I know that we get curveballs and we didn't do anything. It just hit me in the head. Can anybody relate? It come from outside, you know, and here it comes and it hits me in the head. Do you know, and guys that are smarter and researchers that are smarter than I am about the Western environments say that there's been more change, get this, in the last 30 years than in the last 300 years. And being the age that I am, and my father-in-law, again, he went from walking in the horse to the moon in his lifetime in the span of about 80, 90 years. But they're saying there's been more change in the last 30 years than the last 300 years. Folks, it was only about 110 or 15 years ago but that the main means of transportation was your feet. After all these centuries and millennium, it was feet. And if you had a little bit of money, you could ride a horse. If you had a little bit more money, you might have a buggy to go with that horse. That's not been that long ago. And you could do boat. And then, I mean, the internet of the 90s, I mean, give me a break. I mean, you could come home from work in the old days, older than me. Don't be thinking the wrong thing. But maybe, you know, like old as Jimmy and Paul, maybe their age. What are you laughing about, Henry? You knew that was coming. You didn't? I mean, you could come home and you got home from a day's work. I mean, there was nothing to do but eat and take a shower when you got home. Why? Because the sun went down. Darla's dad made a good living delivering the first appliances to people's lives in the 30s, 40s, and 50s that only had one plug-in in their house and was glad to have it. That's not that long ago. Listen, young people, I remember when there was only three channels on the television, only one would come in clear. Now, believe me, I like it better now. You know, listen, youngsters, we talk about the good old days. Something about them weren't that good. But I'm just saying, you come home, you kind of shut down. You rested. I mean, you go back far enough. I mean, it got dark. You had a fireplace and an oil lamp. You shut down, you went to sleep. We don't ever shut down anymore. We go home and sometimes we turn our brain sensors on to a whole nother level. And I'm not sure it's healthy for us. Because even the brain, like the spirit, like the body, needs rest. Say rest. And so there's a lot of anxiety. Why do we get anxious? Well, there's personal challenges, and we could list those. Those go on and on and on and on. Why do we get anxious? Well, sometimes it's because we're getting older. Look, I don't want to go back a day, but getting older is not all it's cracked up to be. If you know what I mean. Even 20 years ago, I could have walked up and down the Grand Canyon in one day and done it again the next day. I'm serious. I could have done that. And I'd have been a little sore and needed a little Advil. Now I come out and I'm like, it's for 3 days. And my main nutritional supplement is lots of Advil. And any other drugs I can get my hands on. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. I know y'all are going to be nurses. I'm not a druggie, I promise. But when y'all get your license, there's anything you can do for my pain. We have some nursing students. I mean, man, it can make you anxious. I mean, I have to get out of bed different than I did 10 years ago because I can't do it like I used to. Getting older. Do you think that Christians are exempt from anxiety? Now, I know you can get more holy than I am, and you can say, well, we should never be anxious, and I know you've been anxious. We're not exempt from it. That's all I'm saying. We can't overcome it. We're going to take, like I said, weeks talking about how to have peace in the world we live in, at home, at work, at school, and we know that Jesus is our peace, as the Scripture says. Do you think Christians should be exempt? Paul said in Philippians 4, 6, he said it. It's in the Word. It's black and white. There's no gray area. He says, be anxious for nothing. Ooh, that kind of creates a little bit of a dilemma inside my mind and in my heart. There's a healthy tension there. So my next thought is, listen, the presence of anxiety is unavoidable, but the prison of anxiety is optional. That's good news, isn't it? Luke 8 and 14, and we're going to hit a couple scriptures real quick, Stephen. As And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those that hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Luke 21 and 34. And even those riches and pleasures, there's nothing wrong in and of those things in themselves. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness. And a lot of people, because of anxiety, default to alcohol and other things. And cares of this life, so that that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. And so the scripture and Jesus himself there is not only Paul's exhorting us, but Jesus is exhorting us, make sure you don't get weighed down with the cares of life. And he's talking about the bad stuff and the good stuff. Look, the more responsibility God gives you and the more responsibility you take on is a heavier load to bear. Right? How many keys you got in your pocket? That'll tell me something about you. I need less keys. You hear what I'm saying? So, and Paul's saying, don't get weighed down. The word there in the original language, don't get burdened. Don't get troubled. Don't get under pressure. Anxiety, and I've been thinking about this, and I'm still thinking about this, but I'm gonna say this anyway. Anxiety in and of itself is not a sin, it's an emotion. Now that causes me to think a little bit, and I've wondered if even that statement is completely true. So I'm just telling you where I am in meditating on God's word in the process. But anxiety in and of itself is not an emotion. But the emotion of anxiety, if we become a prisoner of it, can lead to sin. And that's where all the default mechanisms come. I default to even a hobby, and I think you ought to have a hobby, but it shouldn't be your God. You default to alcohol. You default to drugs. You default to this, and all that stuff can become a sin. So that's just food for thought. I believe I'm really leaning toward it's an emotion. It can come as a temptation, but life's riches and worries are coming, and I don't want it to lead to sinful behavior because God's not pleased with sin, right? We preach that on a regular basis and last week as well. Well, there's a few signals. Let me ask you some questions. Are you laughing less than you used to? Do you see problems in every promise? And I'd like to, do you see problems in every situation? You meet certain people and it's a good idea, but it's never a good idea with them. Y'all have met those folks? Yeah, but. Now, we need in our leadership teams, and we need pushback and all this so that we can make good decisions. I'm not talking about that. But some people just instead, they see a problem in every situation, but they very rarely offer solutions. Do you see problems with every promise? Do you look at God's promises and see, but. Would those that know you consider you negative, a negative person or a critical person? Go ahead, ask your neighbor, what do you think about me? Don't do it. I'm going to have a mass counseling session after church. We can't get him in the office. I'll meet you right here. And David Rowland's buying all the pizza. Well, amen. Pizza gets rid of a lot of anxiety in my book. I mean, pepperoni and sausage, sliced, not rolled, extra cheese. Whew, I just felt the peace of the Lord, didn't you? Y'all did, too. You felt it. Dave, you're such a generous man. Do you downplay or dilute good news? Dear Lord Jesus, don't we need more good news in our culture? But do you dilute it? Is it really your reality and not reality? Are there many days you'd rather stay in bed than get up? I went through a season in my life many, many years ago. I didn't want to get out of bed. I know what that's like. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Do you magnify the negative and diminish the positive? Do you avoid interaction with others to an extreme? If you answered yes to many of these, it's probably a sign that you may be a prisoner to anxiety. Matthew 6:31, one that has helped me many times, and one that God used to deliver me well over 20, probably 25 years ago from the prison of anxiety. And I'd go back to this scripture, Gracie, and you love to pray the scriptures. I'd go back to this scripture over and over and over before God when anxiety came on me. That I had, it was awful, y'all. As a Christian, I was full of the Spirit. I'd been called to the ministry, and I believed in and still believe in living the book. And I didn't believe that was God's will for my life, and it's not for you to live in the prison of anxiety. And I'd go to this scripture, and actually a little bigger context, and I encourage you to go to these. When you're experiencing something difficult in your world, find scripture and go to it and read it out loud, you and the Lord, over and over and over. Put it in your spirit. Put it in your mind. It'll set you free. Therefore, do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Everybody here's been there. How am I going to pay the bills? The mortgage is coming due. The electric bill was more. It's July. Good Lord, it's triple. What? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There, oh, hallelujah. Come on. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. 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 Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Look, you got enough trouble today. Why are you worried about tomorrow, dude? What a wonderful scripture. And expand. There's scriptures before that than after that will help you. Lastly, and my last thought is the power of calm. Now, I'm not quite ready for the slide, Stephen, but the power of C-A-L-M. And that will be the direction of our entire series. Read with me our key text for the next 2 or 3 months. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Hey, I bet you didn't feel any anxiety this morning when we were celebrating Jesus, did you? That's part of the principle. Let your, and some translations say gentleness, reasonableness, it's easy for you to say, be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Look, you can call him up right now. Can I get an amen? And here's the promise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, you're in the middle of this pit, and all of a sudden you got peace. It makes no sense, but it makes God sense. Hallelujah. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. That's why I said earlier, it can start out as an emotion, but it can get in your heart, and it can chain you and bind you. And anything that chains you and bind you is sin. Can I get an amen on that? Which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your, give me your two fingers and do this, and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's, it gets us in trouble, right? Look to your neighbor and said, quit thinking that way. No, go ahead. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is commendable. Here you go. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, read it with me. Think about these things. Can you give the Lord a hand for that? It's going to be a great time in God's Word these next few months. You have 5 verses here with 4 admonitions that lead to 1 promise. We're going to unpack That whole thing. And the promise again is, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In the original Greek, and I haven't studied it recently, but it's a guard, it's a sentry, it's a bodyguard. It's the guy in our age with the AR saying, don't you mess with Dale, devil, because I got you. I need the Lord to guard my heart and mind, don't you? Stand in guard. Here comes the anxiety. Whoop, hit the road, Jack. Here we go, Stephen. Calm. These are the things we're going to celebrate. Celebrate. We're going to learn the power of celebration. But most of all, more than anything, and I'm going to hit these quick this morning because we're going to go in depth. Celebrate the goodness of God. Celebrate how good He is. Last week, even at the altar calls, we prayed, and I looked at some of you and I and mentioned about, I come to church to want to celebrate how good and how wonderful the grace of Jesus Christ is. And not just in general, celebrate how good the grace of Jesus Christ has been in your heart and life. And do it all the time. You've got to learn how to celebrate God's goodness. A, you've got to ask God for help. Say, ask. If you have a need, ask. Celebrate the goodness of God. Celebrate the grace of God. And then say, Lord, I've got a question or two, or I have a need or two. You've got to ask. You've got to let your request be made known. Leave. Leave. That's L. It's easy. Leave your concerns with Him. Now, I've given you a lot of prayer patterns over the year. This is a victory pattern when you're praying. Leave them. Leave the stuff at His feet. And I know how hard it is. We lay down the burden. We lay down the worry. We lay down the anxious thought. And we're living in a little victory in a 30-minute worship service at the Rock. And we get the word and we're prayed for at the altar. And we walk out, and the time we get home, you're pulling your hair out. Mine's getting long, but I still can't quite pull it. I got some right there. Oh, I better keep that spot. This probably represents a lot of anxiety. I imagine a few of them do, or the ones that aren't there. I mean, you know, the presidents, they go in office, their hair has color, and they come out and it's white. Ronnie kept his colored, but you know. Anyway, ask for help. You know how you leave your concerns with Him, though? Live a life of thanksgiving. When the pressure's on, get in the presence of God and be thankful. And verbalize what you're thankful for. Not what you're struggling through, but what you're thankful for. Everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving in your request. And then meditate. And meditate doesn't mean, it means to think on. The transcendental meditation, stay away from it. It's not grounded in the scriptures, and it'll do you more harm than good. I had to insert that because now in our culture, you say meditate. I know what people think now. No, meditate, think. Meditate on God's word. Think about it. Ponder it. Find other scriptures. But meditate on, this scripture says meditate on good things. Whatever, good things. Anything worthy of praise. What's good? What's pure? Whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable. If there's any excellence, anything worthy, think about these things. Calm. I thought maybe I'd model calm, but I think I'll just teach you about calm today. But I'm going to integrate this more and more into my life. If you'll use Philippians 4 and 8 with the power of the Spirit of God and the grace of Jesus Christ, I believe we can live in victory and overcome the pressures and the burdens of this world. I believe it with all my heart. God's word is many things, but God's word is a tool to ward off anxiety. I mean, it's much, much more than that. Use the word of God. Use Philippians 4 and 8. Jesus said, you're going to have trials. I want to know how to survive the trials. But I'm going to tell you this. It is not the will of the Lord for you to live in perpetual anxiety. That's good news. It's not the will of the Lord for you to meet each day with anxiety and fear and trepidation. It's not the Lord. He made you for more than that. It's not God's will for you to, oh, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. What about next week? What? And we do need to think about the future, and we do need to pray about the future. And yes, we need to plan about the future, but Jesus does not want us to worry about the future. You're his child. You're his son. You're his daughter. He's your God. Come on, give the Lord a hand for that. I'm almost done. Let God work. Let him move in your life. Forget that nerve-splitting worry. He has something new for you. The grace of Jesus Christ is still sufficient today. The power of the Holy Spirit can still work through you to overcome. Jesus is our peace. Jesus will help through the power of the Holy Spirit. Worship team, if you'll come. Hold on to communion. Just yet. And listen to this last short story. There are certain native tribes, almost many, that have rites of passage for their sons and their daughters, for that matter. I think rites of passage are biblical. We can find them in the scripture, and it's something maybe that I would like to get back to scripturally. The Jewish folk do it with their sons and at certain times, and rites of passage are important. And some of them are natural. When somebody graduates high school, celebrate it with your child. But I'm not teaching on that today, but there's certain tribes. At 13, a boy is blindfolded, the certain tribe, and they're led into the wilderness, into the woods, right? And they lead them hours and hours during the daylight so that they will arrive at that certain place in the forest at nighttime. And what that boy is required to do as part of his rite of passage is to sit in the dark forest. All the men leave, and all the men go home. And that kid, now I don't know about, and I romped the woods actually when I was 13. And I did it anyway, but I was always scared. I just didn't let the guys I was leading through the woods know I was scared. They were so scared, and I was just scared as them, but I pretended like I wasn't. You get in the middle of the woods 5 miles from home, it's scary. Oh, it makes me think of stories, none that I'm going to tell today. So the boy was required to sit there all night in the middle of the forest blindfolded. There's a lot of noise in the woods at night, everybody. I mean, yeah, that big guy they've been trying to find for all these years. What's his name? Who is it? You've seen him? You saw him? I don't believe you, Grace. You finally lied. She's always prophetically right on, but she's seen Bigfoot. You got to wonder. But when you're in the middle of the woods at night and nobody's around, it's scary. You think Bigfoot's out there because you hear all these things moving, the wind blowing. It's a scary time. But what he was allowed to do is when the sun rose and he could feel the warmth of the sun, he had to be able to feel it. He could remove his blindfold. When he removed his blindfold, guess what? His father had been sitting right across from him the entire evening. The father had been sitting across from him all night to protect him from any harm. Because animals hunt at night, a lot of them. He could protect him from anything that might happen in the wilderness. Yet the son never saw him or knew he was there. Some of you this morning may feel like you're sitting in the dark. And you may not even know Christ, but I'm going to tell you something there. He's still with you. You're not saved till you invite him in, but he's still there. And he wants to be Lord and Savior of your life. All you have to do is confess and repent and invite him in a nutshell. But church, as Christians, we felt like that little boy sitting in the dark woods many times. Right? Am I the only one that's felt that way? I want to tell you this morning that Christ is right there with you. And you can rejoice in the Lord always. I'm almost done, but if you hear anything, hear what I'm going to say for about another minute and a half, and we're going to go to the communion table. You don't have to walk around and sing worship songs all day. It's okay. It's good. You don't have to even pray all day. There's a scripture that says pray without ceasing, but it's not something that everybody does all the time. And listen to me. Please listen to me, because we're talking about the peace of God and overcoming anxiety. You don't have to live in a perpetual stage of excitement. Because sometimes what we're going through, not exciting. You don't have to put on a fake smile. Because listen, it's not what we always do. It's who he always is. Ooh. Remember the Lord is with you, say it with me, always. Remember the Lord is in control, always. Remember the Lord is not just giver of every day, but ordains every single minute of your life, always. Remember in the midst of pressure and pain, he is sovereign in your life, always. And as we do, we'll laugh a lot more. We'll learn a lot more. And we'll be very aware of how much Jesus loves us. Let's pray. Y'all can put the table out now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.